We're at Advanced Crop Advisors. I got a workshop on trying to make sure every input cost really counts, and you're a part of that panel. Talk to me about your perspective as we go into the spring.
Well, you know, we're already starting to work on some of the low-end renewals, and you know, obviously what we're finding with the row crop producers is there's a lot of stress a little bit, especially those folks with leverage or carrying a fair amount of debt, you know, for a number of reasons. You know, obviously interest rates have gone up, and by my historical standards, they're still not excessively high, but when you pile on the amount of debt that folks carry and you know, doubling the rates, that makes a difference. So from an input cost standpoint, while interest for a long time has been kind of a big nothing burger because money was pretty cheap, that's obviously changing a little bit now.
So what are some things these growers can do to kind of maximize what they're putting in the ground?
Well, you know, obviously we don't give agronomic advice, right? I mean, we're more on the financial side, but you know, farmers by nature, you know, they define success as how big a crop they raise, right? I mean, they like to go and talk about 240 bushel, and clearly that's important. But from a financial standpoint, it's not necessarily what you gross, it's what you net, right? It doesn't make sense to spend $2 to get a dollar back. So I think, you know, producers are really going to have to laser in and lean into their financials a little bit and see what makes economic sense, knowing that, you know, if there is any margins, they're very, very thin. And, you know, they're going to have to monitor through the year. You know, so often we just got what I call drive-by financials. They do it once a year at the end of the year. Producers, especially those that are, like I said, with leverage and so forth, they're going to have to monitor their financials probably a little bit more throughout the year to know where they're at.
As you're going through those cash flows, are there guys that are going to be not going to be able to make it, or what's kind of the take overall?
Yeah, I think a little bit that's yet to be unknown. It's a little bit uncertainty with how much government support comes and what government payments are going to be. And, you know, and it's government payments are great, right, because there's no cost of production. It goes right to the bottom line. And I always talk about it being a little bit like a drug addict, just like a heroin. Boy, it goes right into the bloodstream and boom, away we go. But, you know, you really can't, you know, we always do scenario planning and what does the operation look like without government payments. You know, there's folks that are still being, you know, good managers will still find a way to make money, right? You know, and over the 40-some years that I've done this, whatever, it seems like every year, sometime during the year, the market gives you an opportunity to make some money, right? But you got to know your cost of production. You got to know your break-evens. You got to have a marketing plan. You got to be willing to execute it, right? So there's a lot of things that go into it beyond just raising the crop. And then that's maybe a little bit of the perspective that I'll bring.
We call them producers, and that's part of the issue that you're talking about here. They really got to be marketers and some of the other business type of attributes.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, I think the other thing between, you know, the bankers and crop consultants, whatever, we probably are a little bit more in that inner circle of producers and their families and things like that. So we probably get a better feel for even what their stress level is, their mental health issues are, and so forth. And I think, you know, we're already seeing that temperature start to rise a little bit as some of these things really, you know, come into focus when the numbers are what they are, right? So, you know, we always keep an eye on that, and you know, we're not afraid to tell folks that, you know, if you got some stress, go find somebody to talk to, go find some help. You know, they probably can't solve your problems, but they'll help you find a way to deal with your problems.
Very good point. Are we seeing any impact on cash rents, or are they staying sticky?
You know, they're really sticky, both, you know, obviously land sales and cash rents, and that seems to be real sticky. And it seems like when government payments come out, you know, basically that if there's anything that holds cash rents up, that seems to be it, because most landlords that don't have connections to the farm see government payments or government bailouts, whatever, you know, they're not too up on having to negotiate rent.
I think you talk to any producer here, any farmer, they'd rather not have those, be dependent on those ad hoc payments, but this is going to be a year they're really going to need them.
Yeah, they really are, and you know, and it really comes down to, at the end of the day, you know, on a macroeconomic basis, you know, what are we doing for demand? I mean, we're great at growing the product, right? You know, we got, you know, huge ethanol production, and if we get E15 year-round, that would help. You know, biofuels and the soybean crush, whatever, but at some point, we just, that's not going to solve the problem, you know, without, you know, significant exports. And it's interesting, you know, China's now bought 12 million metric tons. They haven't loaded any ships, they haven't paid for, but as soon as they got that done, they're already back buying soybeans from Argentina today, right? So, you know, we talk about don't bet the farm on China, right? I mean, let's take a broader view, but from a big picture standpoint, I mean, there's some things that we need to do to find out how do we domestically use more of what we produce within our borders.
Anything else we should be looking at?
No, I think, you know, it's we always go through cycles in ag, right? And this is maybe a little bit of a down cycle, but we'll find a way to come through it, and we always come out the other side. But make no mistake about it, there'll be some folks that maybe don't survive this. Either financially it just doesn't make any sense, or they just says, you know what, I'm going to cash in my retirement, right? I built up a pretty good balance sheet. Land values are good. I don't need the stress. I don't have a successor waiting in the wings to take over the operation. Maybe it's time just to, you know, to back out. And then I already know of a couple of folks that are on that path.
If you've been doing this 40 plus years, you went through the 80s. We always make that comparison. Interest rate situation is a whole lot different. And some of the things going on in land values is different. Are there other similarities we should be looking at?
You know, that's an interesting phenomenon, Don, or whatever, because we talk about the 80s, and it's not like the 80s. We don't have the leverage that we had in the 80s. We have crop insurance, which is a big difference, right? You have a little bit of a safety net. But there are things of the 80s that are creeping back in. You know, in the 80s, interest rates tripled. Right now they've doubled. You know, in the 80s, we had the Soviets. Now we have China. There's just a lot of things. We have trade, you know, the embargo to Russia. So it's different, but if you look in the rearview mirror, there are some things that are starting to creep in that are a little bit reminiscent of the 80s.